Wow, what a beautiful song. Yeah, great. Let's come to God's Word this morning. Last week, we stopped off at Acts chapter 2, and we saw that on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the 120 disciples had gathered together. The Holy Spirit was powerfully poured upon them, and they started speaking in tongues. A crowd gathered, and Peter boldly goes up and proclaims the gospel. And at that moment, 3,000 people come to faith in Christ. And they ask Peter, what shall we do? And Peter says in Acts chapter 2, 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And further on it says in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So the church grew from 120 to 3,120. And then this big group of people, what did they do? And we looked last week at verses 42 to 47, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to community, to unity, to breaking of bread, to praying together, through fellowship. They shared with one another as people had need. And they enjoyed meeting together, eating together with glad and sincere hearts. And God's favor was on them, and the church continued to grow because the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And let's go to Acts chapter 3 this morning, and we see one incident in the life of the church there, and say, what can we learn from that? And in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, he says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, and at 3 p.m. So it sees that they continued with prayer. And they saw a man sitting there, crippled from birth, and he was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, and he was put every day to beg. Haven't we seen that sight in India? Yeah? At the traffic lights, along the roads, you have people who, without hands or legs or carrying a baby or something, they just put there to beg. And so here Peter and John were going to pray. Okay, and there's a clue there. Prayer is important. Okay, here are the apostles going to pray. And at Word of Grace, we've got great opportunities to pray. We've got the Friday night prayer. We've got the men's prayer breakfast. And for those living on the other side of town, Aon, Baner, Wakad, we will be starting a men's prayer breakfast there as well. All right? It's going to happen either this week, but most probably next week. Okay. And so that's what happened. And then this is what Peter and John did. Look at verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from us. And then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that the kingdom has come, Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit has been released upon born-again believers. Lord, I pray that as we look at this account from Acts, Lord, we would be inspired, motivated, and empowered to see the kingdom advance in our lives. Anoint this word this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I've got 5 great things to share with you this morning from this passage and the rest of the chapter, which we haven't read as yet, but there are 5 great things, and the first one is great need. Okay, turn to somebody and say, great need. You see, everywhere we look today, there is great need. The news headlines say that we are living in a situation today in the world where there's such a great crisis happening not just in one country, but in country after country after country. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the newspaper said 20 million people have been displaced, right from Somalia to Libya to Syria, you know, and all these places. So there's a great need globally all over the world. But apart from the great need globally, there is great need as we meet people individually. Okay? You don't have to talk to people very much before you discover that they have problems. Yeah, the problems can be financial, they can be relational, they can be health problems, and all kinds of situations. Last week, we got this message from Evanson about his friend who's suffering from cancer. You know, his colleague who's suffering from cancer. Must be a young guy, and the report that came was very distressing. You know, needs a miracle. You know, we heard about the church in Bloemfontein. Great fanfare they launched last week. They even have the same blue curtains we have. You know, and then this week, on Thursday, they were said, sorry, you can't meet here anymore. What's happening? You know, and so you have churches that have needs, people that have needs. Do you have needs? We have needs. But as we meet with people, we'll see that people have difficult, impossible situations. And what we need to do is to be like Peter and John and say, with man, this is impossible, but all things are possible with God. So to go into the situation that have great need and bring great hope. Okay, and that's what they did. They said, listen, we don't have money to give you, but we have Jesus. Okay? And so the first thing I want to say is, let's look out for needs, great needs. People, everybody has problems. If we spend 10 minutes talking to people, you will discover the problems that they have. But you know what? They don't have any solution. Okay? But we have the solution. We have Jesus who can overcome every problem. Is that true? Amen? Yeah? Okay, so our first thing is, let's look out as we interact with, as the kingdom has come, but the kingdom can't be with us. As we go out into the world after this Sunday, as we meet people, let's talk to them. Find out their great need. The next thing to do is, once we've found out their great need, is we've got to connect them with Jesus. Okay? And so all you've got to do is a simple, can I pray for you? 5 words. Can I pray for you? Okay? How many times do you think, how many people will say no? Minuscule amount. Most people are open to prayer. Okay? Most people are open to prayer. Whether they're sick or financial need or need a job or need a miracle, it's a sure. Pray for me. Okay? And that's what we need to do. Now, sometimes we do this. We find out a great need and we say, I'll pray for you. Yeah? And then we go off. And then you know what happens? We totally forget about it until the next time we see them. And then just before you meet them, you say, Lord, whatever that need, please. I prayed for you. Okay? So what we need to do is this. Listen. Okay? Right then and there, as far as possible, that's what they did. Peter and John didn't say, you need healing, we're going for prayer, we're going to pray for you. They didn't do that. Right then and there, they prayed for them. So as appropriate, you know, so that's what we need to do. So step into the situation and say, can I pray for you? And let's do it sensitively. You know, if you're in a public place, don't say, okay, everybody, please keep quiet, we're going to pray right now. You know, so let's be sensitive in how we're doing things. You know, so just quietly pray for them in the name of Jesus. Can we do that? Okay, so great need. We're connecting them to the great Savior so that we want to see a great miracle. Now, I want to ask you this. I'm sure this has happened, and many I've heard this. Haven't you prayed for people? Yes. Haven't you seen answers to prayer? Yes. And don't they come back to you again to pray? Not to thank you, but to pray the next time they are in a problem, you know. And so there is power in prayer, okay. And so they may not believe in your Jesus, but they say, you know, when I have a problem, I go to her because her prayers are very powerful. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. So great need. You know, our job is to identify the need. And the next thing is expect a great miracle. Say, we're going to pray for you. Okay? Now, you know, when we hear great needs, like this person needs to be healed from cancer, and sometimes we can just feel, oh Lord, you know, can this happen? Will this happen? But really what we need to realize is your job and my job is to pray. Okay? It's God's power that needs to be released in there. You know? So whatever the need is. Okay, so let's go on to the next one. Great. The man was healed instantly. And he didn't just get healed and go off. This is what he did. He went with them into the temple courts. And this is an amazing thing. You know, most, it doesn't say there, but it's implied. He what did he do? He went into the temple courts walking and jumping and praising God. He realized God had healed him. Jesus had healed him. There was a miracle. And everybody saw him and said, hey, wasn't this the guy who was begging there? What's he doing now? And then see what happens in verse 11. Okay, the temple courts were filled with people, and Peter and John then, on the back of that miracle, started preaching the gospel. Okay? So identified a great need, prayed for it, a miracle took place, and then they preached the gospel. And so in verse 12, Peter says, when Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him up from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. Okay? So Peter didn't mince words. I mean, can you just listen to that? Powerful. So it's a great preaching of the gospel. He's saying, you killed Jesus. You crucified him. And Jesus has healed him through faith in him. And then verse 19, he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord and that he may send the Christ. And he goes on and on with the rest of the gospel. Okay? So following the great miracle, you know, when people are healed, when they see the power of God, okay, don't just leave it at that. We've got to then say, you know, your prayers are answered because I prayed in the name of Jesus. Would you like to know more about this Jesus? And then we share the gospel with them, which is what Peter and John have done here. Okay? Now, you may think that, wow, this is so great. Need miracle preaching. What's next? You know? Well, if you look at the biblical account, the next thing is great opposition. You know, great opposition. In chapter 4, it says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because of the apostles' teaching. And they seized, verse 3, they seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. And what we've got to realize that you may be a great guy or a great girl and you're going and preaching the gospel and you think people are going to applaud you. Well, we've got an enemy who does not want people to be saved. And wherever the gospel is preached, there will be opposition. So don't be surprised at it. Peter, John, Paul, Jesus, they all faced it. We faced it. You will face it. Okay? So that's what happened. And really, you know, we see later on that the apostles were whipped. Okay? They were flogged. But this is what they did. They didn't give up. And they say, oh no, I thought this was a safe thing to share the gospel. I better not share the gospel. You know. But this is what they did. In, where was it? When the apostles prayed in chapter 4. Okay? in Acts chapter 4, verse 27. They were praying. Oh, we'll go back to verse 25. It says, 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together, the believers, in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Okay, think about this. Yeah, these are Christians meeting. Okay, they've just been flogged and beaten. They've been put in jail, and they've come out, and they're praying together. And what are they praying? They're saying, Lord, give me boldness to proclaim the gospel. And they said, Lord, when I proclaim, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. Okay? Those are the two things they prayed for. And I want to ask us, can we be bold to do that? Okay? It's wonderful to meet here this morning and to sing, It Is Well With My Soul. Didn't it touch your heart? Those words are true and they are powerful and it's great. But it's another thing to go out into a hostile world there and to tell people about Jesus. Okay? But we can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. So, great need, great miracles. Okay, in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus gives us an amazing promise when it comes to doing signs and wonders. John 14, verse 12. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Okay? Now, this is amazing. The people had come to him and he's saying, listen, believe me on the basis of the miraculous works that I'm doing. And then he says, listen, if anyone has faith in me, you will do even greater things than these. Didn't Jesus do great things? Huh? He's saying, hey, we will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. And the implication of that is, you know what the implication is? Because I'm going to the Father, I will send you the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so really, in order to do these great things, one of the important things is we need to be baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. Okay, we'll be looking at that in a few weeks from now, in a couple of weeks from now. But really, we need the power to boldly proclaim the gospel. I remember, you know, the first few times I went out to share the gospel, and I was scared. I'd never done it before. Never done it before. Yeah. And so I went with somebody else. And it's always good to go with somebody else who's done it before and do that. And but when the Holy Spirit is upon you, you become bold. Okay, and that's the important bit. Back to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, and we look at 4 now. The last great thing. So we saw great need, great miracles, great preaching, great opposition. But then the last one is great harvest. Verse 4 says, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Imagine this church, 120 people, one day becomes 3,120, and then it grew by another 5,000. And you know that it's really more than 5,000, you know that. Because it's only counting the men there. Whoa. So that's phenomenal growth. Probably they said there were so many women we can't count. Okay, let's count the men. Whatever. But 5,000, wow, it's great. Okay, and we've got to believe God for this. Say, Lord, we are happy to see 2 baptisms. But Lord, we'd like to see 20. By the way, in Bloemfontein in Africa, you know, the previous couple of weeks ago, 25 of the people there gave their lives to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Now, we've got to believe God that, God, you're going to do great things in our midst. Okay. Now, we've seen the account here in Acts. It's all very well. But what has that got to do with us? Okay? Now, if we want to see the kingdom come, I'm sad to inform you that Peter and John are no more. And Paul. Okay, they were here at one time. They played their part, but they've gone to glory. Okay, now we've got Ganesh and Alma and Nial and each one of us, say your name, we are there. Okay, we've got to do it. Yeah? And the way we've got to do it is simple. We need to be filled. Peter and John, we see at the prayer meeting there. Again, prayer mentioned. Prayer is important. I want to encourage you. Be part of some prayer meeting. Make sure that you are there. Okay? Men's prayer breakfast, Friday evening prayer, something. Number 2 is they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at that again. Acts chapter 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. If you and I have got to speak the word of God, we need the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are chicken. All right? We just don't have the boldness. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we can proclaim the gospel. And so, say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Okay? And then, talk to people. Let's get off our phones. You know, we can... Today, my lovely wife pointed out to us, we were all sitting at the breakfast table, 3 of us, Andrew, Jessica, and myself, and each one is looking at their own phone. You know, that phone can just take up all our time. Okay, let's spend time with real people, having real conversations, not chats. And as we do that, you know, we can discover great needs. Take a step forward and say, can I pray for you? That's it. Okay, sensitively, pray for them in the name of Jesus. Because as we saw here, you know, Peter and all were giving this explanation, and they spoke about Jesus is the one, belief in his name has caused this man to walk. And then they preached the gospel. Okay, we need to know what the gospel is. Preach the gospel. There might be opposition. Jesus and the others faced opposition, but that doesn't matter. When there's opposition, we pray, Lord, help me to be bold and stretch out your hand to heal and do miraculous signs and wonders. And finally, we will see a harvest. You've got to believe God for the harvest, because the kingdom has come and we are the agents of the kingdom to take it forward. I pray for word of grace. I pray for each one of us. Can we, you know, now all of us can leave here thinking, I'm sure Meher will do it, and Selena will do it, and they will do it. You know, we've got to go saying, I need to do it. Okay? Are you ready to do it? Are you ready? I'll give you an assignment this week. Are you willing to go and meet somebody? Maybe you meet, I don't know how many people you want to meet. Have coffee with them at coffee job, barista, whatever you want to do. Or invite them to your house, or go to their house. But spend some time talking to them. Say, hey, how's it going? What's happened? And in that conversation, you sit down there till they share a need. Just don't move. Till they share a need. Okay? And the moment they share a need, I have this problem, say, can I pray for you? Okay? And you pray for them and go. Is that fine? Is that doable? Okay. So next week we're going to ask and find out who's done it. But listen, as we do it, that's how the kingdom will advance. Amen.